the studios of J. Wolf Productions, Metal Maniacs around the globe unite. Prepare for Metal Mayhem ROC. This is a show where you, a metal musician, a metal maniac, or a new fan of the genre, can be interactive and participate in our show. Now welcome our hosts, John the Vernomatic Verno and Metal Forever Mark.
Thanks, John. Appreciate that. John the Vernomatic Verno here with you, along with my cohort.
Metal Forever Mark, welcome back.
Ready to kick into episode 2 of Metal Mayhem ROC here up in our plush studios in Ontario, New York. Got a couple interesting subjects we're kicking around tonight. A couple new little topics that we like to introduce. We're going to be getting into a segment called Fire or Ice. Another subject called Back in the Day. And as always, Mark's going to be going over some new Streaming for Vengeance entries. So that be told, let me pass along to Mark. He'll give you a hello.
Yeah, thanks. We're excited. We survived show one, a little choppy in parts, but that's part of the whole process. And it is a heavy metal show after all, so we don't have to be spot on every time. But we wanted to touch on some quick metal news. Segment two here. Before we go into some of the other show segments that you just mentioned, Vernomatic. So Kiss has been on tour. I see stuff all over social media, and I see people commenting. Mostly, what I'm seeing is kind of good stuff, I guess. Although there's question how much raw live stuff's happening versus recorded and overdubbed stuff. What's your thought, and what have you been hearing out there about Kiss so far?
Big Kiss fan, been following the tour. The Metal Mayhem ROC West Coast correspondent Kale Jammer has a chance to see three of the shows so far. He saw the Fresno show, the Las Vegas show, and the Phoenix show. And he says the band's on top form. The stage set by far is one of the biggest and most elaborate productions they've ever done. And the band is playing some songs they haven't played in the past. And contrary to reports, Paul Stanley, the guy's 69 years old. Gino Simmons is about 68 or 69. It's about 75% live. So they got a little help, but what the hell? It's a show.
Yeah. Well, I think what's cool about this show format is we can post on things like this and get some feedback as we move forward. So I'd love to hear somebody calling in that's seen Kiss so far on this tour. The other quick news that we wanted to just mention, and only a handful more for today's show, Queensryche's out there, new CD. Haven't heard it yet, admittedly, but I need to check it out. I actually like Todd LaTorre a lot. I think he does the old stuff really well live. They just sold out a show between here and Syracuse. But you said, Vernomatic, that maybe Queensryche's not your thing right now.
Like Todd LaTorre, I think he's a great talent. He has his own style. He added a lot to this new album besides singing. He wrote a lot more, and he played all the drums. I'm a big Jeff Tate guy. But that being said, some of the later albums with Jeff Tate, they sort of lost their direction. So I'm not too familiar with the new Queensryche release, but I'll give it a listen, and I have an open mind. But I am a big Jeff Tate fan, but...
Yeah. I'm going to give it a listen, too, next time we get back together. And I do want to say I haven't listened to enough of the Todd LaTorre material. At times when I have listened to it, I've been a little disappointed. Not so much in the vocals, but... I just really liked the old school Queensryche when it was really heavy. And this is not for today's segment, but in my Mount Rushmore, if I were to say of CDs of all time, I'm going to throw Operation Mindcrime in there.
And
beginning to end, just push play. Spoiler alert. But my point is I need to spend more. But I think I've seen Todd live, and I think like I said, he does the old stuff great. And I know he brings a lot of energy to the band. A lot of people really love him. All right. Next, just last little tidbit on the Metal Minute. Whitesnake. They're also hitting the road, or I think they're already on the road. I know they're doing some shows kind of local to us. What are you hearing about Whitesnake and this tour, and what's going on with them?
Whitesnake, two dates in late May, Turning Stone Casino and Seneca Casino. I think it's on a Friday and a Saturday. Here they're playing some of the new, or they have a new album out, be playing a bit of that. They're coming. It's on the heels of the Whitesnake commemorative 30-year anniversary package they put together celebrating the Whitesnake album of 30 years ago. Great band. They've been together a few years now. David Coverdale, even though he's up there in age, rehabbing off some throat surgeries. Sounded pretty good. It's worth taking a ride. Hey, our guys aren't going to be around forever. Yeah. And plus, yeah, they're playing a casino. What the hell? Grab a date, grab some money.
We got a good friend who we know really wants us to check that show out with him. But yeah, that'll be another good band for a future back in the day segment for sure. So okay, so are we ready for the fire and ice segment? Is that what we're going into?
Fire and ice. This is going to be fun. Yeah, let's do it.
All right, man. So go ahead, cue it up. So fire and ice. We got the inspiration for this segment based on a Halford track called Fire and Ice. But we figured this is more like the either or game. So who do you choose, Judas Priest or Iron Maiden? You go first.
Well, I'm going Team Maiden. Believe it or not, both of the Maiden was on both of our Mount Rushmores of all time favorite bands. But for me, pound for pound, Iron Maiden is a more solid band, a better live band. Overall, their catalog I feel is stronger, and I think they're a better band.
Well, I think this is one we would probably get a ton of reaction if we were streaming this one live right now, and I'm sure there's, again, huge debate either side of the fence. But I'm going Judas Priest, and the reason I am is I think, well, a couple things. One, I think release to release, Priest has been the more consistent band, I would say, on occasion. There's a few Maiden albums in there, CDs that I would say I could maybe take or leave or had a hard time. And I love the band. They're on my Mount Rushmore. But so I would say that I think Priest has been more consistent. I would also argue that during that little hiatus when they lost their lead singers, when Rob left Priest, I would put Ripper a little bit over Blaze Bailey. That's my opinion, in particular that album that they did with Blaze. And I would say some of their... I've got their last album, and I haven't listening to it that much. Maiden, I'm going back to Maiden. Meanwhile, I think Firepower is like, I was blown away by that CD. So, for me, like Priest staying on the map, and I think Richie's done an awesome job since KK left, and there's nothing more powerful than seeing Priest live. So I'm going with Judas Priest for those reasons.
A lot of great points. Iron Maiden, arguably, their first five albums are classics. Some of the early Priest, when they're running around with the silk gowns on, they're like borderline late 60s hippies. Even though that Sad Wings of Destiny album was fantastic, those first Iron Maiden, the debut, Killers, Number of the Beast, Peace of Mind, A Power Slave, Somewhere in Time, you can't touch those. Now, I'll give it to you, when Bruce Dickinson left in 92 and Blaze Bailey came in for that two-album run, it was absolutely terrible. You know, they were playing clubs. When Bruce came back, as in when Rob came back, both those return albums, Retribution of Souls and Iron Maiden's Brave New World, that's a photo finish. Both those albums are fantastic. And both bands had a little bit of a hiccup after that, too. Nostradamus by Priest, even though Good Intention was a yawner. And Iron Maiden, some of their albums after that initial reunion run were on par as yawners as well. But that's only their catalog. That doesn't even take into consideration the live performance. But I'd give it up to you. Firepower is a fantastic album. I would put that in their top five all time, their catalog.
Well, we had talked about a future Mount Rushmore. Again, when we talk about what's the four the bands that had the four strongest like runs, consecutive releases in a row, you mentioned on some with Maiden, but I think when you look at Priest, for example, and going right, you know, British Steel to Point of Entry to Scream for Vengeance, Defenders of the Faith, and then, I don't know, maybe some would say Turbo, not as strong, and I think that's where that was when that whole stupid, you know, Kurt Cobain, you know, metal kind of started losing their way and got a little glammy and synthesized guitars. And,
No. Turbo was 1986.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. Whoops.
They were ahead of their time. Come on.
I do not need KK Downing with frosted Farrah Fawcett hair, and I don't need my Judas Priest with plastic, not even leather, but plastic boots and riding around on three-person motorcycles and synthesizer guitars.
And not that I can defend Deftober all the way, because I would say if Priest had a hiccup, that was probably it. However, Out in the Cold, one of the greatest freaking like lead-off tracks ever, Locked In, one of the greatest riffs. Yeah. Reckless, which is on that album, which I've been heard they might play this next tour go-around, I think is one of the greatest metal songs, like underrated. John, who are you going with back there, production booth? Priest or Maiden?
Maiden.
Okay.
Always Maiden.
Always Maiden. That's just because you just love the album covers, I think.
Well that's certainly a part of it.
That's part of it.
Eddie. That's why.
I was a 14-year-old kid, walked into the House of Guitars, and I saw the cover of Killers.
Yeah.
And I could not believe what I saw.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew nothing. That's how it was back then. You knew nothing about bands. We would go into record stores. I remember buying the Queensryche EP just on the fact that I couldn't pronounce it, but it looked so goddamn cool. And then you put it on and you put that needle down in the beginning of Queen of the Reich. Holy shit. You know, it's like right then and there. So Maiden, it's the imagery. It's the marketing of the Eddie. But first and foremost, no one did a transition from singers like Iron Maiden did, from Paul Di'Anno to Bruce Dickinson. That's part of it.
But I'll throw a couple more in, though. Like the album artwork for Screaming for Vengeance, Defenders of the Faith, freaking Painkiller, that's as metal as it gets, and it's iconic. I mean, at the time, right? Priest brought out the Harley. I mean, who else rips out the Harley? And they are the ones that also started with leather and chains and the whole metal image. So you got to give Priest that for sure.
Oh no, Priest is there. It's a photo finish, and no one says I'm right. But well, Maiden, I just think at the end of the day, Maiden's catalog, I just think it's stronger.
So here's we're gonna post this one up, this Fire Ice segment, and then we're gonna get reaction, listener reaction, fan reaction through the week, and then maybe we'll revisit, or maybe we'll have a couple people call in with this. But I will say though, as much as I just defended Judas Priest and I'm picking them, I think Maiden wins the day just on the sheer fact of no other freaking band on the planet that I know of has their own branded airplane, who then is flown by the lead singer, who flies a lot of times right after shows. So if that's not complete metal, I don't know what else. It's,
so that's there's definitely reason. Something to be said about Flight 666.
Yeah, exactly. That being said, I want to make a little a teaser on a little segment we do on the show called Back in the Day. And talking about Iron Maiden and Judas Priest, they actually toured together two tours in a row. In the 1981, Priest on their Point of Entry tour had a young Iron Maiden open up for them on the Killers tour, and then a year later, Judas Priest on their Screaming for Vengeance best album of theirs, and Iron Maiden's Number of the Beast, they toured again. And talk about legendary shows. When we get to the subject Mount Rushmore of all-time concerts, that's a tease for you. But those two bands, they're friends. They're not best of friends, but they have toured together.
Well, actually, if you read KK's book, which I've made it halfway through, and I haven't made it to the end, for no other reason than I just haven't had as much time to read as I wanted, but what I want to share with that is apparently there was a rivalry there between Priest and Maiden, and I think that second time they were touring, it didn't all go as rosy as many would have thought. So anyway, that's something else we can get into later. But that for me is where I feel like before man found fire, I feel like back then was before I found metal, and I was not awakened to heavy metal then. So I used to see the kids come in with their Maiden and Priest T-shirts going, what is that? And now I'm envious because I wish that's, if I can go back in time, that's who I would go see. I would see that. I would see those shows.
Oh, it sucks you weren't there, but wait a
pre-awakening
second.
Of metal.
What were you jamming before? And how old were you?
Okay, well, this is not going to be good.
This could get ugly.
No, this is really bad.
This is Metal Confession. It's fine.
Okay, a new show segment, Metal Confession. Okay.
How old were you?
My first entree into music in general, this is bad. Donna Summers, and the Bee Gees. And I said it, and to never be repeated again.
Okay, how old were you?
Seventh grade, okay, sixth grade. I think I got awakened to metal in like around eighth grade.
That's fine.
British Steel was the one that did it.
We all started with Kiss, and I think I was like
sixth grade. Yeah.
But, you know, on par with your Donna Summer era,
yeah.
My first album I ever got, it was a double live album, right?
Madonna.
No, close. Barry Manilow.
Oh!
Barry Manilow.
That's worse than Donna Summers, man.
It was a double live.
Okay, double live. Okay. Yeah. So I had a Bee Gees album that was a double live, too. I mean, that doesn't make it any better.
But I was in fifth grade. So, okay.
We just lost every follower, every listener. John's about ready to throw us out of the studio.
Did
we beat that one to death?
So the Maiden show, the Maiden tours, and the Priest tours, both great bands, both should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. But that's a discussion. Yeah. I'm not even gonna mention that place. But my vote is Iron Maiden.
Okay, and my vote's going to stay with Priest. And I will say there's one little – I know we were going to get this topic real quick, but there was one show that I saw with Maiden that – I remember they were, like, completely stripped down, wearing jeans. It might have been No Prayer for the Dying show, and I remember just – because, like, when you go to a Maiden, you expect the Seven Suns stage set and the you know, Peace of Mind.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, I remember going, it was, like, stripped down. It was, like, half the venue – I had no idea what was going on.
Yeah,
I don't think Priest ever slipped that far. And again, was that No Prayer for the Dying tour?
Okay, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
Priest did slip that far.
Okay.
It was No Prayer for the Dying. It was at the it was at the War Memorial.
Right. Yeah.
June 92.
Yeah, I was there.
Yeah, they opened.
I think I came home from college just to see the show, and I was all pumped. And then I go and I see my blue jeans.
They actually opened the tour in Rochester, and they were rehearsing here for a couple days.
Okay.
But there's about 2,000 people there.
Exactly.
It was really bad. I remember seeing Priest on the Retribution of Souls tour in
Angel of Retribution.
Angel of Retribution.
Tyranny of Souls is Maiden.
Yes. No.
Fact check. We're gonna need a fact checker for this show too.
Okay. Fact check. It's Bruce Solo. Tyranny of Souls.
Okay. Yes. You were right. Which I think. Is
but
a great
it
album.
Was it was Judas Priest and Anthrax with a freshly rejoined Joey Belladonna. And it was in Syracuse, and it was a great show. It was absolutely fantastic show. That's Bottom line, both bands have had their ups and their downs, and the more important thing is we're going to have a chance to see both bands within 3 months this summer.
Yeah, that's incredible.
So,
can't wait.
You know, up the irons and rock
Priest.
Hard, ride free.
Yep, that's right. And hopefully at one day before they all call it quits, man, would it be awesome if all metal fans would agree to see those two bands tour one more time together. So, all right, I know we're limited on time this show segment tonight because of another commitment for the studio. So what's our next segment? And we'll try to get into that, and then maybe we're going to wrap a little quicker than we want, but at least we can get our second show under our belt, and we're excited about it.
Streaming for Vengeance, our chance to share with you what we're listening to, old, new, live, studio. And one thing I've been listening to lately on an Iron Maiden topic is the Rock in Rio double live from the Brave New World tour, which is absolutely fantastic. The audio is excellent. I would stay away from the video because if you don't have epilepsy, it'll cause epilepsy. But the editing is atrocious. But the audio tracks are fantastic. It's just Maiden at their peak when Bruce came back on tour for Brave New World. That's what I'm streaming. I think Mark has a couple
And that's what's cool about being a metal fan. I think in general, overall, is like all the, you know, there's new stuff coming out, new bands. You're trying to keep current. So that's always a way to go. But then on the flip side, to your point, every once in a while, like you can get nostalgic, right, for a CD or an album that you haven't listened to in a long time. And I kind of started listening to Dokken again when they came here, but not so much any of their one album specifically, but they did a remaster. They basically re-recorded like a whole bunch of their hit songs, which I personally think is really cool. Like, it's just got a new edge to it. I think Don sounds great. It's really produced well, and it's heavy. So I've been checking that one out. And then I've been listening to Five Finger Death Punch too. The only reason I found out about that band is because Rob Halford played live with them on, I think, one of those Revolver magazine, like Metal Gods, I don't know, one of their annual like Academy Award type shows. And I never heard of Five Finger Death Punch. I had no idea who they were. I'm sorry, man. All I know is Metal God got there and sang a song with them. And I was like, if Metal God's singing with this band, they got to be cool. I started listening back.
You need to discover a couple of things. Ivan, the singer.
Yes.
Go back to his Motor Grader days and listen to that.
I never heard about that band.
You
got to
check it out.
And now I'm really getting crushed for being on the show because not only did I admit I listened to Donna Summers, and now I don't know that Ivan Moody had a band before Five Finger Death Punch. So
yeah, Motor Grader.
Fired the show too. What's it called again?
Motor Grader.
And how many albums do they have?
That I don't know.
I'll go check it. Okay, for sure. That's pre Five Finger Death Punch. Okay. Do you dig them at all or not? Have you checked them
out? Yeah, I've seen them a couple times.
Have you listened to their stuff, like, recorded?
No, just seen them live.
I'll recommend. I'll make some recommendations for you.
A lot of times, if I don't know anything about a band and I see them live, obviously that's the purpose of touring. I'll get into them. Band called Havoc that I saw open up for Megadeth at Rapids Theater absolutely blew me away. And then I saw they opened up... I saw him on another show, but Colorado Metal.
They actually have a double album, which was, I think, two releases ago back already. And, I mean, just again, there's another segment we're going to talk about in the future called Just Push Play, where you literally just push one of these albums forward and let it roll. And I'm gonna bring that in, from one of our shows. So, producer John, how are we doing on our time for this show segment right now? We got a couple more minutes to wrap or a couple minutes? Okay, we got to... All right, how do you want to close tonight's show? You said back in the day. Tell us about what that's going to be.
Well, back in the day, it's a subject. It's a segment where we share a story. Maybe this could be our closing theme, where we share a story of maybe an event or a run-in with a band or a cool experience that you had at something, and we all could share this. But my back in the day story is going back with Iron Maiden on the Number of the Beast tour when they opened for Priest at the Rochester War Memorial. It was in October of 1982. Me and my buddies, we're little metalheads, and after the show, we're hanging outside the load-in door waiting to get a glimpse of the band. Who knew anything? Then all of a sudden, the original drummer, Clive Burr, comes walking out with a full-length fur coat on. It was late October, a little chilly, with these two gorgeous women. Well, when you're 14, anything, is gorgeous. But we said, "Hey, Clive." He stopped, looked at us, gave us a nod, and said hello, and acknowledged us, and went on the tour bus.
Oh, all right. We got fans.
So that's
just the next show.
That's my back-in-the-day story. When you're 14 and a drummer of a rock band that you just saw on stage gave you essentially the time of day. That's good shit.
Yeah. So I'll just wrap with this one. It's real fast, but I've got it to your point. This is a fun segment for the future because I got a lot of great back-in-the-door stories, again, as I'm sure all of us do that follow metal. But back in the day when Defenders of the Faith tour came and they played down that Rochester War Memorial, we were rolling up before the show and there was some dead dude laying out right by that where that like dinosaur barbecue place is. And
is he really
we thought
dead?
The guy was well, that's the thing. We thought he was sleeping and then we were kind of looking at him and then somebody started kicking him and then they're like, "Oh, I don't think this dude's moving." And we thought it was maybe like a homeless person that might have been sleeping, but it turned out, the guy was dead. So sure enough, the ambulance came and they took him out of there.
Yeah.
And he was not a Priest fan, I would say, because he didn't look like he was somebody that was going to be into the band. But that's the shortest back in the day story I've actually got.
Again, it happened Priest, back in the day.
Defenders of the Faith. John, you want to take us out? Our producer's not awake.
Welcome to our world.
We're going to slash your compensation, John. Thanks, everyone. That was fun. We can't wait till the next one. Metalmatic?
Iron's up.
Thanks.
Right on. Thank you for listening to Metal Mayhem ROC. Make sure you follow us and check us out next time.
Yeah.
It's our house musician.
I like it. Hi, I'm Cindy, by the way. Now I can talk to you. What's your name, honey?
Mandy.
Mandy.
No, I'm pretty
good. My hand better than this.
I think that one was great. The second one was a lot better than the first one. It was really good. It went great.
I loved it.
Same old.
Yeah. The thing is you guys sound like you haven't. It's like it's not even second. You guys are like. It's like a show that's been on the air.
When they're doing it from now on.
Yeah, 4 o'clock every Monday.
I think
now that we've worked a bunch of bugs out, it'll probably be like this next week, and then after that, it should be like 4 to 5, 4 to 6.
Oh yeah, no, like I said, it's.
Then we'll have dinner time if I can get TW to keep showing up early like this time. We'll be able to have show prep and dinner time.
Ah, to me, it just.
You were gonna make dinner for us. What, in my crappy little kitchen down there with no supplies?
That's the spirit of it.
So tell me about you.
When we also went to a pre-show together, my friend Diane was driving. We had Diane, and we were talking. She goes,
here, why don't you have a seat? You two can catch up while I deal with these folks.
And by the way, Donna Summers is not as bad.
Barry
Manilow is terrible.
I was confused.
Donna Summers is metal?
Yep. No, I don't know how we end up going there.
What's that?
I was awakened to metal. It sounded like they've been doing it forever. It sounds good. You think it's the first album I ever bought?
Bingo.
Well, I went out and I mowed my neighbor's lawn.
No, I'm actually allergic to alcohol.
The day it hit the shelf in 1976.
I get instant headaches.
Send me those.
So it's tough.
What's that?
So how do you track my makeup too? Because this is what I do. Like I run late.
Yeah, I have to have TW.
Actually,
I was cooking burgers. I might be able to email them out
for my sons. Ooh, shoot! And I forgot to put some away because it's also for my lunches during the week.
Who's Wolf?
I'm Wolf, and he's Wolf.
Jay Wolf.
They're both
Jay Wolf.
That's John.
From the way that I signed for my checks when I worked at DKX.
So
John Winter was a capital J.
Well, I've been doing it for over like a year now, about a year and 2 months. Okay. And Teddy's been doing it.
I always forget everything.
Okay. And it just sort of tapered off.
Yeah, girl. Me too. Okay, so how did you meet John?
Somebody's Jay Wolf. And I go, well, that would be me. He goes, well, that sounds like a great radio name. And I kept up with the radio name.
Meanwhile, your last name is Wolf.
Actually, middle name.
So this was just weird.
It's just, yeah.
And that's where you work?
I mixed his band in 30 years ago at the Maple Dam Party House.
Just passed
away. That was how we met.
And I started out doing acoustic live music, or world music, with doing like Native American stuff and all that. That's how I started out.
My dad passed too.
Now the guys have convinced me
really?
To come back and do some shows.
Yeah, I'm
told
not
you
very.
You said I'm
giving them some ultimatums. So.
When is your birthday?
Because I haven't said yes until
you will.
Oh, interesting. You're a Gemini, though.
I listened to your last show.
Yeah. With Michael.
Oh, yeah.
I couldn't stop listening. It was good, man.
I'm a psychic medium.
Yeah,
I'm sure John said that.
Well, no, I actually.
All right, Ellen.
Dude, that's messed up shit right there. When you
you did?
Yeah.
Cute. Thanks. That's fun.
Still going.
I'm adding new content from that I've got.
That's not the creepiest stuff I've ever heard.
I can do.
I'm adding stuff tonight. Some conspiracy stuff, believe it or not, of why they're not allowing people on.
Why are they not? What do they mean?
Well, Cindy had mentioned that there was a possibility that maybe they're putting contaminated materials on that island, and that's why they won't allow us allow people there.
Yeah, I was wondering about that.
Are they using
that,
it to decompose bodies? You think?
What's that?
To decompose, like to basically just decompose.
They're just putting bodies there. It doesn't matter.
They're putting bodies, but they're not putting them in caskets.
Right. They're putting them in.
Right.
They're putting them in cardboard boxes.
Well, the babies are in cardboard boxes.
So are the adults. They're not pine boxes anymore. Everybody's being buried in recycled cardboard boxes.
Right.
That's just not right.
That's terrible.
Now the problem with that is all of the bacteria and shit that's generated.
Oh my God! It ends up in the river.
And the biohazard.
There's the other thing I was going to go to tonight.
And
I was going to make tag of. A lot of stuff goes right back into that river.
It's like
and here's the other thing:
the copper's grade burial
that they may have buried on that of other stuff, like waste, nuclear waste.
That's what I was talking about with you. Is
alien bodies. There was a bunch of stuff that... Conspiracy, there's a lot of people saying
so
that
you
stuff.
Guys, guess what I did this week?
There's a lot of people saying that stuff. But that's why they won't allow people on that island. Is there stuff buried on that island that they don't want people to find?
Jenny, you're not looking at me!
What? Oh, my Lord.
Guess what I did this week?
I don't know what. You got a job?
What?
I don't know.
Move along.
I channeled an alien.
Really?
Did what?
I was channeling an alien. It was amazeballs.
Yeah. Why, was he horny for you?
He's like, oh, baby, no!
I figured she would have channeled an alien like 20 years ago because she's
no,
like,
no. Well, I have right. channeled other aliens, but this one was super dope.
This is from the Pilates.
That could be metal.
It could be metal.
What happened?
Hey, how do we see
I want to know.
So my friend actually went to Sedona. He went to Sedona. The woman that was doing a psychic reading for him told him that the spirit guide, his angel spirit guide that's near his crown chakra, is actually quite tired and was asking if she can replace him. And made my friend a little nervous, but he actually he agreed and said, yes, we can replace him.
That's why there's a lot of stuff about Heart Island that Michael didn't even touch base on.
And
so now it's been
actually, so I'm like, oh my God, it's an alien! And he goes, and she said, wow. I said, it's an alien! She goes, he goes, it's an alien. I'm like, I knew it! I'm like, can I talk to your alien? Can I tune into your alien? And he's like, sure, you can. So I, like, it was, like, because at first, I was just like, tuning in to him, and I'm like, oh, I like his energy. And he goes immediately, the alien says, I am not a him. I said, I know that, but it's hard to explain. And I'm like, Pete, he's blah, 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 and he's amazing. I like his energy. And again, the alien goes,
the religious part of that is what is also a part of it that's not talked about, and it's really just
your energy. Feels a certain way, more masculine to me.
Guess what? He didn't stop.
As humans do, I assign gender.